बिहारी जय राधा कुंज बिहारी जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी कुंज बिहारी जय गोपी जन वल्लभ गिरिवर धारी जय गोपी जन वल्लभ गिरिवर धारी यशोदानंदन ब्रज जन रंजन यशोदानंदन ब्रज जन रंजन यमुना तीरावनचारी यमुना तीरावनचारी जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी
पाद परमहंस परिव्राजकाचार्य अष्टोत्तर शत श्री श्रीमद हिज डिवाइन ग्रेस एसी भक्तिवेदांत स्वामी श्री प्रभुपाद की जय अनंत कोटि वैष्णव वृंद की जय।
ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 12, Chapter 9, Verse number 7. Yeah. It's very beautiful handwriting, actually, I see for the first time. A nice letter.
Itiritorchitah kamam.
Sorry. सूत उवाच
इतीडितोर्चितः कामम् ऋषिणा भगवान् मुने तथेति सस्मयन् प्रागाद् बदर्याश्रममीश्वरः इतीडितोर्चितः कामम् ऋषिणा भगवान् मुने तथेति सस्मयन् प्रागाद् बदर्याश्रममीश्वरः इतीडितोर्चितः कामम् ऋषिणा भगवान् मुने तथेति सस्मयन् प्रागाद् बदर्याश्रममीश्वरः श्रीसुत उवाच इतीडितोर्चितः कामम् ऋषिणा भगवान् मुने तथेति सस्मयन् प्रागाद् बदर्याश्रममीश्वरः सूत उवाच इतीडितोर्चितः कामम् ऋषिणा भगवान् मुने तथेति स स्मयन् प्रागात् भदर्याश्रममीश्वरः सूत उवाच इतीडितोर्चितः कामम् ऋषिणा भगवान् मुने तथेति सस्मयन् प्रागाद् भदर्याश्रममीश्वरः मदर्स् सूत उवाच इतीडितोर्चितः कामम् ऋषिणा भगवान् मुने तथेति स स्मयन् प्रागात् भदर्याश्रममीश्वरः सूत उवाच सूत गोस्वामी सेड् इति In these words, iditaha, glorified, architaha, worshipped, kamam, satisfactorily, rushina, by the sage Markandeya, Bhagavan, the personality of Godhead, mune, O wise Shaunaka, तथा इति सो बी इट सह ही स्मयन स्माइलिंग प्रागात डिपार्टेड बदरी आश्रमम फॉर द हर्मिटेज बदरिकाश्रम ईश्वरः द सुप्रीम लॉर्ड ट्रांसलेशन and purport by the disciples of His Divine Grace, Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada, Ki Jai. Translation. Suta Goswami said, O wise Shaunaka, thus satisfied by Markandeya's praise and worship, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, smiling, replied, So be it, and then departed for His hermitage at Badarikashrama. Purport. The words Bhagwan and Ishwara in this verse refer to the Supreme Lord in His incarnation as the twin sages Nara and Narayan. According to Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, the Supreme Lord smiled ruefully because He prefers that His pure devotees stay away from His illusory energy. Curiosity to see the illusory energy of the Lord sometimes develops into sinful material desire. Nonetheless, to please His devotee Markandeya, the Lord granted His request, just as a father who cannot convince his son to give up pursuing a harmful desire may let him experience some painful reaction so that he will then voluntarily desist. Thus, understanding what would happen to Markandeya, the Lord smiled as He prepared to display the illusory potency to him. ॐ अज्ञानतिमिरान्धस्य ज्ञानाञ्जनशलाकया चक्षुरुन्मिलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः श्रीचैतन्यमनोभीष्टं स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वयं रूपकदा मह्यं ददाति स्वपदान्तिकम् मूकं करोति वाचालं पङ्गुं लङ्घायते गिरिं तत्कृपातमहं वन्दे श्रीगुरुदीनतारिणं परमानन्दमाधवं श्रीचैतन्यमीश्वरं वन्देऽहं श्रीगुरो श्रीयुतापदकमलं श्रीगुरून् वैष्णवांश्च श्रीरूपं साग्रजातं सहगणरघुनाथान्वितं तं सजीवं साद्वैतं सावधूतं परिजनासहितं कृष्णचैतन्यदेवं श्रीराधाकृष्णपादान् సహగణ లలితా శ్రీ విశాఖాన్వితాంశ్చ నమో విష్ణుపాదాయ కృష్ణ ప్రేష్ఠాయ భూతలే శ్రీమతే భక్తి వేదాంత స్వామినితి నామినే నమస్తే సరస్వతే దేవే గౌరవాణీ ప్రచారిణే నిర్విశేష శూన్యవాదీ పాశ్చాత్య దేశ తారిణే జయ శ్రీ కృష్ణ చైతన్య ప్రభు నిత్యానంద శ్రీ అద్వైత గదాధర్ శ్రీవాసాది గౌర భక్త వృంద హరే కృష్ణ 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 హరే 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 రామ 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 హరే హరే
హరే కృష్ణ. So, like to offer my humble obeisances at the lotus feet of all Vaishnavas who are assembled or who may be hearing this online, and request them to bless me so that I can speak something. Hare Krishna. So, this is another purport which when I read for the first time, I realized that how disciples of Srila Prabhupada were also so empowered to exactly pinpoint the essence of Srila Prabhupada's heart in this purport. There is one sentence in this purport, and I don't know how wonderful that sentence is composed. So actually they have honestly revealed here that it is taken from Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur's commentary. But the sentence, the way they have picked it up and put it here, so somehow I felt that each and every line of that sentence is so wonderful. In fact, there are two sentences, and each and every word of those two sentences is so carefully selected that you can analyze each and every word and you can just keep it to your heart so nicely. So the first sentence is mentioned here. Of course, the little background of this pastime is this, where Markandeya Rishi has pleased Supreme Personality of Godhead out of his devotional service, and being pleased when Lord asked for any wish that he has or any blessing that he has requested to be able to see the power of the illusory energy of the Lord. Of course, these type of pastimes keep occurring in Bhagavatam or other places. Like in case of Lord Shiva also, you know, he expressed the desire that I want to see the Mohini Murti form of the Lord. So Lord Vishnu actually asked him, are you really sure? Because you may not be able to, you know, contain the beauty. He said, no. You know, I still want to see. So just like in case of Lord Shiva, we understand that you know, the entire desire that he expressed was to ultimately reveal to the world that how the illusory potency is so great that even a demigod should not have a desire to play with it or to express any desire like that. Explained that when Mohini Murti appeared in front of Lord Shiva, despite Mother Parvati, who is a Sakshat Maya Devi, personally being with him and perhaps the most beautiful woman in the entire material creation, despite that, he was just dragged at the beauty of Mohini Murti. So when Lord wants to take a particular form, the Lord ensures that he puts into it the full beauty of, like, when he wants to come as a Kurma Rupa also, is the best tortoise in the world. If you can just keep looking at the tortoise, you know. Sometimes I wonder how will the Lord be looking when he comes as a lizard, you know. He's one of the most ugly and such creatures. But if Supreme Personality of Godhead wants to appear like that, oh, it will be so beautiful. Because it's beyond our imagination. Our material intelligence cannot imagine. But when Lord wants to take that form, so Lord came as Mohini Murti, and he was more beautiful than, I mean, he is as good as Lord Narayan. So his beauty was irresistible. And he knew that it will be difficult for Lord Shiva to handle it. And that's what actually happened. But that keeps on happening. Pure devotees of the Lord, sometimes it could be their own desire, or sometimes it is a desire to just show the world that how great the energy of the Lord is, how difficult it is to conquer. So they express this type of desires. But the sentence which is captured here is so wonderful. It mentions that he, so the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he prefers that his pure devotees stay away from the illusory energy.
So it's very nicely composed statement. Of course, one small relief in this sentence is that the word pure devotee is used. You know that I'm not a pure devotee. So, you know, but he says that his pure devotees should stay away from the illusory energy. And it's Lord, he prefers like that. So Lord never forces anything, but he's preferring. So each and every word that they have used is very special, right? So he prefers that the supreme, that the pure devotees stay away from the illusory energy. And we will go to the next sentence. But before that, one very wonderful pastime, which actually happens, it is there in the Krishna book. And actually, even before that pastime, and I have quoted this incident previously also. It's like one day I remember many years back. That time our Gaur Gopal Prabhu was very still accessible. You could go and talk to him. So I remember, even now you can talk to him, but you never know where he is. So I came to temple and I was very tired. And I was sitting here in the bench. There was a bench right here behind this place where the lift is there right now. And he just came to me, he's put his arm around me and said that, "Why, you looked very morose, what is the problem?" So I was expressing to him that, "Prabhuji, you are in Brahmacharya Ashram, you are very protected. But we are out there in the material field, we are working in the office, and there is so much of constant heavy bombardment of, you know, Maya Devi in terms of so many different forms. It becomes difficult." So he listened to me fully and then he said, "You know, Prabhu, you must be thinking that, you know, the facility that you have is the facility to do sense gratification. You're able to enjoy senses and that's why you're able to interact with so many things. And as brahmacharis, we are protected. We are not really enjoying our senses." He said, "Please believe me, we are actually enjoying more than you in terms of eating at least. He said, the kind of prasad we get, the kind of respect we get." So brahmacharis, he said, "actually are enjoying more than you." He said, "But there's one thing that you have that we don't have." So what is that? He said, "You have freedom of choice." He says, "Our life is regulated. The rules and regulations are made. If temple commander says that you have to go preaching, go there. Now the person has to do it. Irrespective of the senior devotee, junior devotee, as a brahmachari, whatever rules are given is sort of a regimental life, you know, like an army life. The rule is given, you go there, do it. So that freedom, a brahmachari doesn't have a freedom to choose. A particular prasadam sweet is made, a particular prasadam, you know, he has to choose it as it is. Cannot say, no, Prabhu, merely thoda sa. I have a desire today to eat noodles or I have a desire today to eat pasta. So that's very difficult. But grahastha has that choice. He says that freedom that you have, he says that freedom is the only speciality. So now if you see as the time is progressing, and I was discussing this with one of the other brahmachari friend also, and he was saying that at times even in brahmachari ashram now, sometimes, you know, people may try to exhibit some freedom. And they express that, you know, I don't want it like this and I want it like that. Can we blame that person? Or can we? So, interesting. Here the word which is used is, the Lord smiled ruefully. Ruefully. So, I actually wanted to understand the meaning of this word. So, I googled for the word. So, the meaning of the word ruefully is with sadness. Is like, you're smiling, but with sadness. Theek hai, kar lo. Like you're trying to explain to a person, ke bhai mat karo, mat karo. You know, it's not good for you, it's not good for you. The person, no, Prabhu, aisa hai, aisa, ye, isme achha, ye benefit hai, ye hai, wo hai, wo. I mean, the person comes to you to ask a question, should I do it or not? And then you try to explain that how it could be very dangerous, harmful for him. And person convinces you that actually it's good for me. Then at the end, what will you do? You'll give a typical smile, right? Theek hai, Prabhu, karo fir. May Krishna bless you. That's called smiling ruefully. Now, when you Google search for a word, an interesting part of Google search is that if you little scroll up, then you also see the graph of how much the word has been used in the past. So you can see that up to 1970s or 1980s, the word is almost never used. And suddenly from 1970s, there is an upscale in the word. It's like, and one of, it's used very heavily right now. It's interesting that these purports which were written in 1970s, Prabhupada has captured that. That's why I'm saying that the disciples of Prabhupada must be empowered to catch the word. So something which is being written for next 10,000 years to come. So in next 10,000 years to come, in whichever ashrams you are, there's very likelihood that such incidences will take place. of people undergoing this type of emotion, that you're trying to explain to a person, please don't do it, but the person still is not willing to listen and still wants to go ahead and do it. And then you have to smile ruefully. And that is captured here so wonderfully. That's what I liked. That, you know, and actually Supreme Lord smiled ruefully. It's mentioned here. So then the pastime that comes in Krishna book. So, and we all know that pastime is just about reciting it and purifying ourselves. That once when Lord Krishna was in Bandirvan, and he was with many cows and many calves, and as the boys were joking and playing and, you know, having their lunch, suddenly the cows and the calves started grazing and they got sort of distracted. So it's mentioned that how the cows were eating certain grass, and as they were eating the grass, they were seeing some better grass on the other side. So they went ahead a little bit. Okay, this grass is better. And then little more. So cows experiencing a tendency of exploration. Okay, new grass is there. Okay, that grass. And all this is being done, and there is full freedom to explore. Correct? There is no control because the cowherd boys are playing with them. There is no control over the calves. So they want to explore, go ahead. And soon they went deep into the forest. Now, very interesting part. So, Lord Krishna was a personality because he was destroying the demons. Kamsa always had his spies keeping complete watch on Lord Krishna. Constantly. There's something which I just wanted to share. And please correct me if I'm wrong. And this, actually, you understand how the dynamics of Lord Krishna is. And this is slightly away from the theme of this verse. But something that I recently learned, and it's so wonderful. You see, those of you who have been seeing Bollywood movies or whatever, any type of movies in the past, of course not now. But you see, whenever the hero is there and the hero wants to do something nice and he's creating a lot of problems for a villain, the villain always asks a question that, you know, who are the people who are dear to him? Iske paas kaun hai? Iski maa kahan rehti hai? And then you'll always see a particular scene where the hero's mother is bound and and finally the hero has to come and rescue her, right? Now, an interesting fact is, when Lord Krishna was born, Vasudev, even before Lord Krishna's birth, even when the Akashvani took place, immediately Vasudeva and Devaki were arrested, right? So even before Lord Krishna comes, the real mother and father of Krishna are immediately arrested. And who is Vasudev? Vasudev is a prince. He is a prince of a ruling dynasty. He's a Kshatriya. So he's a powerful person. But even before Krishna was born, Vasudev and Devaki are arrested. And here we see practically every year, Nanda Maharaj comes to pay taxes to Lord Krishna, to Kamsa. But he never arrested Nanda Maharaj. Right? It was so easy. He himself is coming. Now to get Krishna from Vrindavan to Mathura was a task. And specifically Akrura was sent because Akrura was one of the confidential ministers of Kamsa. Unwillingly. Right? But he had to go. And he had to speak in a way to bring Krishna out from Vrindavan to Mathura was not an easy thing. But here somebody who Krishna loves more than his life, every year walks out of Vrindavan and comes to Mathura to pay taxes. What was the difficulty in arresting him? And just try to understand, here he's sending spies everywhere. So now these calves, they just strayed away from the forest and they went into the forest. The spies immediately came to know, it is mentioned. And what did the spies do, that we will talk about later. But the spies, here the spies are going everywhere. Won't the spies know that he is the father of Krishna and this is where Krishna stays? Spies know practically everything. Like recently, a few days back, I was in Varanasi. And there is this festival of Dev Deepavali. It's one of the most grand festivals that take place. It's mentioned that probably the demigods actually come there and celebrate Dev Deepavali along with Lord Shiva on the occasion of Lord Shiva killing the demon Tripurasur. So the Dev Deepavali takes place on Tripurari Purnima, which just passed a few days back. And our Honorable Prime Minister, he was there in a boat. So he actually was there and he was waving his hands like this. So everyone was shocked that how, you know, it's such an open place, right? I mean, if anyone wants to harm him, it's also easy. But he was there. But it's the spies. It's a spies network, which know everything that is happening around. In fact, in Ramayana, Lord Ramachandra, amongst the many instructions that he gives to Bharat, one of the instructions he gives is that the king, the real king is one who sees through the eyes of the spies. It's one of the most important department. And even in, it's written fact, known fact, that in the army of Shivaji Maharaj, Chhatrapati Shivaji Maharaj, the highest paid job was the job of a spy. And there could be two or three spies sometimes around, and even the spies would not know the other person is a spy. That is the level of confidentiality that used to give. So unless there are spies, you know, you cannot do anything. You cannot do anything. And it's right from Dwapar Yuga. So weren't the spies so expert, and weren't Kamsa be, you know, such a shrewd king, he wouldn't use, if the today's demons of Hollywood, Bollywood industry, whatever you want to call them, villains, they understand this fact, won't Kamsa know this? He's like a supreme, but he never caught Nanda Maharaj. Never ever, not a single incident. Why it must be so? Why it must be so? Right? Because catching Vasudev, this is my understanding, arresting Vasudev, of course, we understand the Krishna's potency of Yoga Maya. But if you see the Krishna serial, in that there is one thing that they have captured very nicely. Kamsa tells Nanda Maharaj that the prosperity of Mathura depends on you. It's because of you that we have prosperity. Just see the importance of having a Vaishya, right? That means if Nanda Maharaj was to be arrested, and if just one fine morning, everybody in Vrindavan says that, fine, we are not going to do any business with Mathura. Stop milk production, stop agriculture, stop everything. Whom will you rule? Whom will you help? Unless there is milk, unless there is Praja Tumari Khayegi Kya? Right? So Vaishya is so important. So Kamsa also did not touch Nanda Maharaj. And there's another person, another pastime. Like because two people that you see typically, you know, being under the radar of the villains. One is the lover and one is the mother and father. Right? So then about Radharani. Now won't the spies tell Nanda Maharaj that there is a lover of Krishna also, like Srimati Radharani. And this, so I always had this question in my mind, that how is it that he never arrested Srimati, never troubled Srimati Radharani ever in the life? How is that thing is not recorded anywhere? I always had this doubt in my mind. So one time I was in Barsana and I was looking at all the wonderful temples. So looking at the Kushal Bihari temple, looking at the Shriji temple, and I realized that if you go to Vrindavan, there is no temple in Vrindavan which is like a public place which is not damaged by Mughal process. There is no such temple. We know the Radha Govind temple is damaged. We know the Radha Madan Mohan temple is damaged very badly. But if you go to Radha Kushal Bihari, each and every nook and corner is as it is, undisturbed. Not even a small chip of a stone is removed. So I observed this and I was wondering that how is it that, I mean, did they never come here? Or what happened? So I got down, and then there's this place in Chiksoli where most of the devotees go and they have prasad. You know that place, right? So there's a very elderly lady there, and I asked her a question. That Mataji, you know, how is it that this temple is, and both temple, Shiji temple as well as Kushal Bihari temple, there's not a single chip of a stone ever removed. So she laughed and she said, I'll say in Hindi, she said, Barsano to aisi jaga hai jahan kams bhi nahi aa saka. To ye nikam mein kya aayenge? Like that she mentioned like that. So ye nikam mein Mughal yahan pe kya aayenge? So then I said, ki, Mataji, what is this pastime? So she said, Barsana is a place where even the Mughals, even Kamsa could not put his step. So what to speak of these useless Mughals? So I said, you know, what is this pastime? Please tell it. So she told me a nice pastime. And if you have permission, I will tell you. Because it's connected to the spies and connected to this whole concept of spies going out. So she said that Kamsa got this news that there is this one girlfriend who Krishna loves more than his life. And her name is Radharani. And if you captured Radharani, then you are done. Then Krishna is yours. So Kamsa came there to capture Srimati Radha. Now as Kamsa came there, of course, the gopis and all, they understood. Kamsa is coming. You know, they are pure devotees. So now what to do? You know, so this is a very wonderful thing and it has been practiced everywhere. Whenever the situation is there, when the person is very powerful and there is no way that you can do anything to harm that person, then the only way that you can use is you can trick that person. If somehow you can trick that person, then your job is done. You see, always this particular technique has been followed by Lord Krishna himself. Just like, you know, we were talking about the example of this demon, Bhasmasur, or what was this, Vrukasur demon. So Lord Vishnu tricked the demon with his wonderful, charming talks, right? So when the person is very powerful, and even in the pastime of Divine Guest Srila Prabhupada, there, you know, this deal of the Juhu temple that was taking place, and Prabhupada so wonderfully engaged that person. And even when Radha Landaneshwar murtis were taken, you know, in each of this person, when he sweetly, you know, Prabhupada had his charms probably, so that he could swiftly do these things. So here Kamsa was coming, and of course everyone knows that Kamsa is very powerful. So these few gopis, they just stayed there, and Kamsa was, when he came there, he little bit became thirsty. So he was looking for some place to drink water. So these gopis were sitting there, sakhis of Radharani. So, oh, Maharaj, Maharaj, yahan pe aajao. Aap thake hue lag rahe ho. You look very tired. So, what do you want? I'm very thirsty. He said, no problem. He said, please take, be here. This is the best kund in this area. You can take, drink water here. If you want, you can even take bath. Don't worry. We'll take care of your clothes. Nobody will take your clothes away. We are here. So, Kamsa was there. And Kamsa said, okay, yeah, I'm anyway feeling very hot. And by mystical power of Krishna and the Sakhis, he suddenly became very hot. And he was very sweating, so he felt like taking bath. So I'll have water and I'll take bath also. So they said, don't worry. Nothing will happen to your clothes. Nothing will happen to your ornaments also. Go and take bath. So, you know, simple village women, whenever they say something sweetly, you know, there is no choice but to believe whatever they are saying. So Kamsa believed. And he went and he drank water from the kund, went inside and took bath. When Kamsa came out, he was not a human, he was not a male anymore. He had become a female. He had become a gopi. And Kamsa looked at himself and he goes, oh, what happened to me? I was shocked. And then all the sakhis were laughing and cracking jokes. Hey, he became a woman and all that. They were having a fun time. He said, now what do I do? He said, what do I do means what? You have become a gopi now. You have to serve. And he was like, you know, but what can I do? What service can I do? So they gave him a service. They said, you have to take this gober and make those paddies and put them on the wall. So that's your service. And then in that body of a gopi, you know, he couldn't say no. He said, but why? Why have to be like this? And they were just, no, now you are already a woman. Now you have to be like this all the time. And Kamsa was frustrated. He was actually frustrated. He said, what do I do? He said, this is the service that you do. Mera dharma kya hai, matlab, I got a body, but what is my duty? Duty is to put gober on the wall. That's it. And then for 1 year, he was made to put gober on the wall. Just like that. And it was a frustrating experience for him. So I was just thinking that many great devotees, you know, it's their desire of the heart that they want to become gopi one day in life. People undergo austerity and tapasya so that they can become gopi. And this guy became a gopi just like that. By mercy. And in the body of the gopi, he was experiencing tapasya. This is the difference between, you know, so don't think that, you know, suddenly by becoming a gopi, if you're not that material, you're not prepared for it yet, you will not be able to take it. I was recently talking with one very learned person in the field of education, and the discussion was happening on homeschooling. And he told a very wonderful point. He said, it's not question of whether homeschooling is better or a normal education is better. It's always the conflicting situation. He said, tell me what is the greatest challenge of homeschooling a child. And then so many devotees shared so many different points. Okay, affiliation of the board. You know, you can, sometimes you may not have the skills to teach the boy and everything. So many things. He said, these are all very small challenges. He said, the greatest challenge is being an exemplary guru. To be able to wear the hat of a guru is very difficult for a father. He said, therefore, even in ashram, there is guru and guru mata. So sometimes because the discipline and pampering उसके बीच में जो लाइन द लाइन बिटवीन द दिस टू इज वेरी डिफिकल्ट टू कैरी. ही सेड दैट द एबिलिटी टू बिकम अ गुरु इज वेरी डिफिकल्ट एंड दैट्स व्हाट इज द बिगेस्ट ड्रॉबैक ऑफ बीइंग एबल टू होम स्कूल अ चाइल्ड. दैट इज अ ड्रॉबैक ऑफ इवन अ नॉर्मल स्कूलिंग ऑल्सो बिकॉज एबिलिटी टू बिकम अ गुरु इटसेल्फ इज अ चैलेंज. सिमिलरली एबिलिटी टू बिकम अ डिवोटी इटसेल्फ इज ऑल्सो अ चैलेंज. इवन दैट पोस्ट इज डायरेक्टली गिवन टू यू बट इफ यू आर नॉट ट्रेन्ड यू डोंट हैव दैट वृत्ति यू डोंट हैव दैट डिस्पोजिशन ऑफ बींग अ डिवोटी ऑफ बींग अ सर्वेंट देन इवन द बॉडी ऑफ अ गोपी इन वृंदावन बिकम्स अ सोर्स ऑफ मिजरी. जस्ट सी दिस कंडीशन ऑफ दिस पर्सनैलिटी कम्स अप. ही वॉज डायरेक्टली गिवन बट यू आर सफरिंग. So then ultimately at the end of the year he begged at the feet, started washing their legs with his feet with his tears. Please, please get me out of this body. Please do something that I come out of this body and I again become a male. So Gopi said, okay, accepted, but we have to give a promise. He said, what promise? He said, you or your spies or your soldiers should not enter this entire area. That kund where he took bath is known as Sakhi Kund. It's still there. So he should not even enter anywhere beyond this area. So a border was given. So Kamsa should not enter that area at all. He said, okay, given, promise. What do I do now? He said, no, nothing. Go and take bath in the same kund again. That's it. You never told me. You never asked. So you know, so they are like, so Vrindavan is a very simple place. Even if they want to make a fun of you, it's done very simplistically. You know, it's very, very non-complicated. So he just took bath there and again he was a man. He was a man and he just left from that place, never ever to come there. So therefore he said, what to speak of the Mughals, even Kamsa could not enter Barsana. So actually when the Vrindavan was under a Mughal attack and even the second time when Amar Shah Abdali came, and as the story goes that he did so much of slaughter in Vrindavan that Yamuna River was looking red for 7 days. But even during that time, none of them entered Barsana. He said, knowing this history, many devotees, many people actually moved from Vrindavan to Barsana and they are still living in Barsana. They didn't move out of Barsana. That is the wonderful place. So just trying to connect this entire episode of trying to kidnap Srimati Radharani. So it's not so easy. You cannot kidnap Srimati Radharani like that. It's very difficult. So Nanda, even Kamsa was not given entrance. Now the second part of this sentence, which is very nice, and each and every word of this sentence is so important. So it's mentioned here, curiosity to see the illusory energy of the Lord sometimes develops into a sinful material desire. So here Srila Prabhupada is actually cautioning us. So in Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna says that there are 4 types of people who surrender to me. And out of one of them is curious. Right? So always that question may come that why a curious person? What is the difference between the curious person and a person who is striving for knowledge? Right? And here the answer is given that curiosity, you know, it may lead to even curiosity of exploring the illusory energy. And that may sometimes develop into sinful material desire. And this is the where a devotee who is experiencing a lot of freedom in his life, a person who wants to have a lot of freedom in his life, that is where he needs to draw a line. Because the illusory energy may sometimes develop into sinful material desire. So how can one remain protected in this particular effort? Where do I draw the line? Where do I? So a very famous story. This is story is given in the book of Panchatantra also. And you may be surprised that this is the first story in Panchatantra. I mean, I was really surprised. And of all the stories that can be given, Vishnu Sharma, who composed this book, gave this as the first story. The first lesson of wisdom. And you know what is the purpose why the Panchatantra book was written, right? It was written so that the princes of those king, they were not having Viveka. They were not having any intelligence. So to give them Vivek, to remove their Viveka Shunyata, to remove their loss of wisdom, this entire book was. The first story which was given was that of this. Anyone knows what is the first story of Panchatantra? So The first story is the story of this monkey who is trying to explore material energy. So it's the same thing, right? So it may develop into sinful desire, that is very fine, but the reactions that may come may be very, very devastating. So what happened is that there was this carpenter who was cutting a huge log of wood. And you know, this is a story that has been given for all of us to always remember at the back of our mind, that I don't land up into this situation. So there was this log of wood which was being cut. And when you're cutting a huge log, for those of you who have studied some carpentry or done carpentry, once you start cutting the log, then there was a lunch time, because then, you know, he was cutting it. And you will see sometimes, you know, sometimes people use this saw to use it, right? And it's zig, zig, zig in a particular movement. So a huge log of wood being cut. So when it goes halfway through, and the problem is if you just take out the blade and keep it like that, then it again starts sticking to each other. The wood starts sticking back. And again, you have to do more effort. So just so that the sticking part does not happen, people generally put a wedge. So take a wedge, you hammer the wedge inside that log so that the log remains like this, open. Right? So this carpenter, he wanted to go to take lunch. So he put that wedge inside and kept the log open. And this monkey who was observing it for a long time had now the desire of exploring this illusory energy. So he started playing with the wedge. What is it? You know, he wanted to try that saw and everything. Nothing was working. And within his play, as he was doing it, what happened? He tried to pull out that wedge. Now he had no business to do it, right? But monkey, what can you do? So he tried to pull out the wedge. At one point of time, that wedge got pulled out. And what happened? His private parts were slammed between that two parts of the log. And the fox, who is telling this story, you read Panchatantra, he says that, I don't need to mention after this what happened. He actually says like this. It's there in the part of the text. So I think it's Damanak or Kartak, one of these foxes, telling this story. And this is the first story. And says that, I don't have to now say what happened to this monkey after this. He said, therefore, don't try to venture into things which are not meant for you. Right? So where to draw that line you're talking about, right? You want to explore certain things, but where to draw that line? First, you understand if there is something that is meant for you. Right? Because I was just talking with one devotee, he was sharing with me, you know. He said, we have very short life. We have very short life that has been given to us. That short life, human life is meant for perfection. Human life is meant for self-realization. This is a body perfectly created to remember Krishna, to self-realize. And why you want to venture out? I mean, it's fine. You want to venture out, but at least understand if it's within your capacity. Try to understand what is your own mindset. Are you really meant for it? You just can't go and keep exploring anything. Because the tendency of conditioned soul is to always go for something where there is more gain or where there is more adoration, profit, glorification. Want to go and do that. Just because some activity is giving lot of, you see, otherwise, you know, why people buy lottery tickets? Kahin to lag jayega. What is the chance that a person can win lottery ticket, right? Mathematics Prabhuji is here. You know, what is the probability that one can win a lottery ticket? It's like something like 0.00008%. 1 in a million is a probability of you winning a lottery ticket. But so many people buy. Right? Because they actually, now I don't know if you should say this, but it is mentioned in Mahabharata that even Yudhishthira Maharaj, you know, he had this. Because see, in a fair game of dice, as they say it, right? In a fair game of dice. So if you have a dice has six sides. So in a fair game of dice, there's a chance that out of six attempts, at least one attempt will be successful. Right? So sometimes we have a question that why Yudhishthira Maharaj, he went on betting. And not a single turn he won. Right? Because in a fair game of dice, in eight attempts, you'll at least get one attempt which is success. It's a simple mathematics. Obviously, Yudhishthira Maharaj knew it. But if you study the history of Mahabharata, those dice were not fair dice. Right? They were not fair dice. They were made from the bones of Jarasandha, as some people call it. So they essentially, they were not fair dice. If it is a fair dice, then you will at least win one chance. That's very clear. Yudhishthira Maharaj had this hope that at least one. How is it possible? And there is another type of this. It's called as logic, which is called as gambler's fallacy. If you have heard of this, gambler's fallacy means to have a faith that if I have lost a turn 4 or 5 times, that definitely 5th time I will win. This is a psychology. Anyone who undergoes into gambling or goes into stock trading or anything like that, you know, there's a belief. It's called gambler's fallacy. That if I have lost for 4 or 5 times, definitely agli bar main jeetne wala hu. Kyun abhi 5 baar har gaya na. So now I'm going to win. So that thing, you know, that person was, that was the problem which actually carried away someone like even Yudhishthira Maharaj. So therefore, when Yudhishthira Maharaj was in Vanvas, Dhaumya Rishi told him, you know, we know that you have this ability of gambling, you have a desire, so why don't you get trained into it very nicely? So Yudhishthira Maharaj went to the other sage and he got officially trained into the art of gambling. And just see how wonderfully, when Yudhishthira Maharaj was in Virat, Virat Nagari, and there the question of, because the problem was that Bhima, he was just a chef, and then Nakula and Sahadeva were also simple jobs. So there was not sufficient money even for having good clothes and good food. So this mentioned in Mahabharata, Yudhishthira Maharaj would play dice, game of dice with the king, and whatever money he would win, he would go in the evening and distribute that money to his brothers. And that's how they lived throughout their entire life. And Yudhishthira Maharaj never lost after that. That was the only time that Yudhishthira Maharaj lost in the gambling match. He never lost after that, because he learned the art of gambling. So again, there is an education. So the point which I'm trying to make is that something which is not within your ability, don't think simply by chance it will be able to be achieved. And then you jump into that, it's not your ability, then you jump into it, and then you feel, oh, I will chant Narasimha Arati, or I'll chant Krishna prayer, Krishna will protect me, I will jump into fire. If you study Mahabharata, right, Arjuna would take such vows, correct? Arjuna would take such vows that, you know, and then Krishna had to do all hard jobs and difficult jobs to fulfill those vows. If you see Mahabharata, so forget about Srimad Bhagavatam and the conclusion, but in Mahabharata, the reason why Arjuna actually fell down when they were doing that final march, right? The reason which is given is that because he took such vows which were beyond his capacity. So it's an important lesson to be learnt. Now, what is to be done if you actually have that inner fire that you always want to take risks in life, right? And then what best thing that you can do, and I'm sure Baldev Prabhu will be very happy about this, is that you enter into book distribution of Srila Prabhupada. And the book distribution has started. So if you are a person who is always willing to take risks, and you feel that you are able to jump into things always, right, then that tendency should be used for distributing Srila Prabhupada books. And that's what I have seen. So many wonderful devotees, they have taken great risks in their life, coming out of their comfort zone, and going out, and even landing into situations where it could be a problem. But you know, you are always, your intentions are always clear, that I am not, you know, grabbing this money. I am not doing it for my pleasure. So I was reading one book distributor's, his small write-up that he had written about his, so he mentions about different way that he distributed book, how he went into different malls and different places. He just showed a book, asked for a donation, and the book went. At the end, he wrote a very nice line. And I think that if someone really wants to explore things in life, you know, because also try to understand, we should understand one thing. If we want to achieve that we have never achieved so far, then we should be willing to do something that we have never done so far. And that's where you need to cross the comfort zone. So you want to achieve something that you have never achieved so far, then we need to do things that we have never done so far. And the devotee writes very nicely. So he puts in the line, he says, I have put my false ego to the line in the service of Krishna and Srila Prabhupada. And that is a line which I really liked very much. That anywhere where we have our comfort zone actually ends, where, you know, our false ego draws a line actually. Otherwise, how do you understand the comfort zone? is the comfort zone is created by the false ego. Right? So when we are willing to put that false ego on a line, just make it flat in front of the Lord. That is where, you know, we are able to do actual service to Krishna and Srila Prabhupada. We are able to break the comfort zone and actually go out. And if one takes that small calculated risk in service of Lord Krishna, then that is not a rueful smile. Krishna will not be smiling ruefully at us, whereas Krishna would be actually smiling very nicely at us. And probably even, and I always quote this incident again and again, that in Jagannath Puri once, there was this Rath Yatra which stalled. It did not complete. And Radhanath Maharaj made all the devotees dance in the night in front of Lord Jagannath. It was very uncomfortable. But still the devotees were dancing. The legs were paining, you know. I remember having chappals in my legs and the chappals were actually biting me a lot. Actually, we were dancing. And then next day morning, Radhanath Maharaj took us to nice ocean. And then the first thing he said, all of you were dancing so smiley, so nicely to please Lord Jagannath. And he was smiling at you so nicely. So devotees planning to break the comfort zone and come out and do something nice for Lord Krishna in his service. Right? Not taking undue risks like, you know, making something which is beyond the capacity. But little bit. That small breaking of that comfort zone, little going out. That will make Krishna smile at us. And that's actually the perfection of life. Which Bhaktisiddhanta Swami Thakur said that don't try to see God, but serve the God in such a way that he said that he comes to see you, and His Holiness Radhanath Maharaj adds that he is pleased to see you. He always adds this one word, that Krishna is pleased to see you. So if we have that potency of exploring material energy, then that's where we can utilize it. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Granthara Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. If anyone has any questions, you can take. Otherwise, you can call it. Thank you. Hare Krishna.